Luke's Gospel, please, chapter 13. I just want to read part of a verse here, verse 22. Luke 13 and verse number 22. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Chapter 18, please. Verse 26. The disciples to the Lord Jesus. They that heard it said, who then can be saved? Acts chapter 16, please. Part of a verse again, Acts chapter 16. Verse number 31. Paul and Silas to this man, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? I'll read you one more in the Old Testament. Can you find Jeremiah chapter 8? Jeremiah chapter 8, one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 8, please. We'll just read here, verse number 20. This is Jeremiah the prophet to these people in Judah long ago. Verse 20, Jeremiah 8. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. And we are not saved. Now that's all I wish to read. Now we're happy to see everyone here tonight. We would like to ask, what about being saved? Being saved. Have you considered it? I would like to think of four simple ideas tonight relative to being saved. That's what we sang in our first song. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. One day a man asked the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 13, Lord, are there few that be saved? I have written over that scripture, the truth of being saved. The truth of being saved. Without going into any details in this chapter, it's lying right on the surface. The Lord Jesus is going down through Galilee of the nations, likely for the last time, as he moves into Jerusalem later in Luke's gospel. He will never return this way again. And as 11 faithful men follow the Savior, and thousands around, this man in the audience said, Lord, are there few that be saved? Now the answer to that is this, friend. Yes, there are few. In fact, there are very, very, very few. Someone says, I thought that salvation was for everybody. Absolutely right. God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. But very, very few are going to be saved. Why? The Lord Jesus gives the answer in this verse, and he said, look, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And as most of us know, when we give a gospel presentation, We say, as far as the sinner is concerned, he has to strive. He has to agonize. He has to make it his chief aim in his life. He's going to make it. Now, obviously, the background is the Olympic Games. They're about to start down there in Atlanta, Georgia. The Canadian team are likely on site. And if you were in their camp tonight, and they're thinking of the races coming up starting on the 16th of July this year, their aim is to win the race. They have got to strive. They have got to make absolutely sure that it's got to be number one in their life, uppermost in their thinking and in their actions, if they're going to win the race and be successful and have a gold medal. That's the background. Fellow traveler to eternity, I want to suggest to you tonight, you know why you're not saved, friend? Because you have never made it the chief objective of your life to be saved. Now, so that this individual might be pressed in his mind on this great vital truth, you know what the Lord says? You're really not interested tonight, today, Mr. Whoever that asked the question, but is a day coming when you will. And to press that home to the man's mind, he said, look, strive to enter into the straight gate. Why? Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The day coming when they'll be interested. And they'll strive, and they'll seek, and they'll knock, and they're interested in being saved. But it's too late. And that's the truth of the Lord's coming again. And the very truth of it's in this very section. He says, one of these days the Master will rise up, and he'll shut the door. The gospel will finish as far as this age is concerned. But I stir your mind tonight, friend. In this great city of Vancouver, where many are living a life of relaxation and relaxing, to your soul tonight, if ever you're going to be in God's fair heaven, you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Make it your aim, number one, to get in there if I'm going to be saved. There was a day in my life as a boy of 19 when I walked up a city, Belfast, Northern Ireland. I was invited to sit down to listen to the gospel. And I was pressed to go to hear the message. Somebody said, it's a beautiful evening. Go and have a night of pleasure. Forget the meeting. But I determined in my heart that I was going to the meeting. And that night in that meeting, the Spirit of God began to deal with me. And I understood that if ever I was going to be in God's fair heaven, I would need to do something about it. Dear soul, tonight, would you be interested in being saved tonight? That's the truth of salvation, of being saved. There are very, very few that will be saved, but make sure, friend, when the last day comes that you're saved. Now let me go on. Here's another man in chapter 18 of Luke, rich young ruler. He came in on this occasion to the Savior. He was a man that had many riches and he was young. He had an aching void in his life. He wanted to be saved. He kneeled down on the dusty road with his beautiful attire in front of Christ. The disciples are close to the Lord and are watching. And they're saying in their heart, here's an individual, and this man is definitely going to be saved. But when the Lord Jesus Christ put the terms to him, turned away. And as Peter is the spokesman of these disciples, he watches what's happening, and he's stirred in his own heart. And he's saying to the Lord here, and we read about it, who then can be saved? As much as to say, if this candidate, he looks so like salvation, and he's turned away, who then will be saved, Lord? I want to call that one the test of being saved. I would like to put a test to my audience tonight, from the boys and girls, to the teenagers, to the older friends. Do you know when you're not saved tonight, friend? You failed the test. And the test is this. Something else has come in between you and salvation. Simple as that. On this occasion, it's the man's riches. A very honorable individual he was. He kept the law and all the rest of it. And the Lord Jesus said to him, listen, man, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to have a relationship with me, you better make priority number one salvation. Leave the material wealth to others. Follow me. He wasn't prepared. Your soul tonight, are you prepared? You may barter your soul of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin, the things that will win. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? This time, 3 years ago, we were in Northern Ireland, and one night we were in a place called Ballyclare for the gospel. We spent the day with the saints there outside Belfast, and the audience was in rapt attention on that occasion, and a number of unsaved men. I hadn't been there for years. At the end of the meeting, when I threw out the challenge, this young man came up and he said, sir, you've touched my heart tonight. I want to talk to you. And as the people filed out and the door was closed, I sat down with him at the front seat and over the ground. I put it right to him. He said, you're right, sir. I would like to be saved. But. And then he went in to explore and explain his position in life. He was touched. He learned he was a sinner. He learned that he needed to be saved. He learned that he needed to be. He was going to be in heaven. He would need to be born again. He knew the facts. But there was a young lady in his life. He said, she's not interested. And I can't be saved tonight. Oh, what a sad situation. The test of being saved. He turned away. He left with tears in his eyes. And this Bible that I have in front of me tonight, I opened and read it to him. Got down beside him. Showed him the way. Put the terms on him. Turned away. Is that you, my friend? God have mercy upon your soul. That's your attitude. You've come and gone from the place of the holy for many days. We've come tonight with a deep desire in our heart to stir you up, friend. Time you were saved, your soul. Now let me balance the ministry tonight and go now to how a soul can be saved. It's very important. Every man that stands here needs to tell every audience every time how a soul can be saved. As I grow a little older in divine things, I'm absolutely convinced. There are people that crossed our path once, and they got the opportunity of hearing the gospel. It's the responsibility of every servant to tell them simply how they can be saved. Right. Acts 16. Here's a man. He's in deep distress and need. He's lying sleeping in his bed in a jail in Philippi long ago. It would appear that he had heard the gospel before the night season came on. And he knew something about this great important matter of salvation. And his job was to make sure that not one prisoner under his responsibility would escape that prison. If they would, his life would be taken. At midnight, when the servants are there singing and praying to God, an earthquake hits the place. The man's in desperation. It's in his subconscious mind. The doors are open, the chains are dropped off these prisoners. Oh, they're gone, every one of them. He brings the sword and he's about to terminate life. And I like this man, Paul and his associates. Paul seemed to sense what was happening. He said to him, listen, don't you touch it. Don't take your life, man, we're all here. And here's a soul. And the darkness of the night brings that light. He comes down and he asks those dear men, what must I do to be saved? Is that a question you're asking tonight, friend, in your heart? You've never verbalized it. Maybe you're a child here tonight, less than 10. The longing of your heart is tonight, oh God, how can I be saved? I'm just a little child. I'm a teenager. I'm an older friend. I'm coming to the end of life. I want salvation and I want it tonight and I want it now. How can I have it? Now watch. Those two servants of Christ in unison, simultaneously, from the inner dungeon, Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. I have called that the trust of salvation. Now let me ask you, do you think that man could do anything? He was about to commit suicide. You see, friend, there's nothing that the sinner can do. Absolutely nothing. But there's another sense in which he can follow instructions. Would you follow instructions tonight? And do exactly what the Bible says. I like this man. He did exactly what the man said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? Believe, number one. I, the Philippians here, am a sinner on the way to eternity. I need salvation. If I'd have taken my life a few minutes ago, I'd have been in hellfire for eternity. What convinces men of that, friend? The Holy Spirit of God. That's what our brother prayed tonight. That the Spirit of God would deal in this meeting with somebody. Opening to their eyes. What it's all about. Sin. Righteousness. Judgment. Man grasped for the first time. He was directed to a wounded Savior on Calvary. He died on the cross. He died for ungodly sinners. He died for the Philippian jailer. He seemed to grasp in this statement, this answer to the question, that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary, God punished Christ for me, the Philippian jailer. I want to preach tonight from Victoria Drive platform, for I might never get the opportunity again. Who knows? And you might never have the opportunity of hearing it again. I want to preach to you tonight the truth of substitution. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. That was the very verse that I would say through myself. Almost 40 years ago, it's amazing, I learned for the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ died in my place, in my stead and in my room, for me alone, as my substitute and sacrifice and Savior, true and tried. Would you be simple enough tonight to follow the instructions of the book and believe in the Christ to save for heaven and hope? Just a minute, before Brother Curry comes up here. People say to me, why do you get excited, man? I don't understand it. I want to tell you tonight, we have a deep concern for sinners in this city, and some in this audience. I want to put this another application from Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Here's an honored servant of Christ in his day. You could see that if people didn't take the way of escape that the Lord Jesus and that the God of heaven provided, they would be carried away to a foreign country, Babylon by name, and they would sit there and they would understand as they look back. There was a time of ingathering, and there was a summer, a favorable time for them to be rescued, but they turned and died. Friend of mine, the tragedy of salvation is this. You could miss it. With all your favor and with all your privilege, you could slip through life, live the way you were born, die the way you lived, without a savior. You go out into the dark forever. It's a very apt verse here. Men will cry from eternal fire forever. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And I'm not saved. I hope there's no one that has listened to this twofold message tonight. Whatever cry in eternal fire. I remember Victoria Drive. I remember Woodland Drive. I remember Vancouver, BC. The western hemisphere of planet Earth, when man crossed my path and were in deadly earnest about me being saved, but I've missed it. He anticipates how a man will think when he dies without Christ to go down to hell forever. Your soul tonight. Will you think about it? The Bible class today in Woodland Drive down the road there, we're on 2 Samuel 18, and it pointed out to the believers that a father brokenhearted, as he hears the news of his boy Absalom, he likely knew he died without hope. He bowed his heart in pain, wept his heart out. Oh, Absalom, my son, with God I have died for thee. He likely went out into the dark from the palace, from a Christian home, to go down into the deep forever. To your soul tonight, I've come to appeal to you from my heart. There are young men over 40 years ago that sat with me in the gospel halls of Northern Ireland, and many of them have passed over the boundary line, stood at their grave, and have preached the gospel at some of them. They're in eternity tonight. We don't know where they are. I want to ask you tonight, friend, your turn to go. Are you resting on Christ? Are you without Christ? God help you tonight to trust the Savior, as my brother preaches, that we might meet you in heaven when life is over.